Well, good morning and happy Father's Day. I thought today's jersey was appropriate when you think about dads, so that's why I'm wearing the San Diego Padres jersey today. But I wanted to start us off with a little bit of some dad jokes, and I thought you'd enjoy these, so take a listen. My wife and I had an argument about which vowel is the most useful. I won. What do you call a horse that lives next door? A neighbor. I left my wife because she was obsessed with counting. I wonder what she's up to now. I have a very good feeling about my job interview today. The manager said they were looking for somebody responsible. You found your man, I replied. Wherever there was a problem in my last job, they always said that I was responsible. I wonder what parents did to fight boredom before the internet. I asked my 18 brothers and sisters, and they don't know either. We'll leave them at that. But anyways, it's a good day to look into the Word of God. It's a good day to see His hand in things. And so if you'd open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And once again, I want to say happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. I look back on my dad, and I had a lot of regret when I think about my father. He died over 30 years ago, and I wish I could spend more time with him. He worked very, very hard working father, to put food on the table so that we could have a roof over our heads. I'm grateful to him. Mark Twain said this. He says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. Isn't that true? Sometimes, for some, this is not a good day. If someone had an abusive father, if this dad was an alcoholic, if he was a very harsh father, if he made you feel like you never measured up, then Father's Day can be difficult. You don't have good memories. But I want you to realize that none of us dads really measure up. In the standard for being the best father possible is our Heavenly Father, God. And He's perfect, makes no mistakes, and we can't measure up to that. And so my encouragement to you today, if you've had a great dad experience, amen. Thank the Lord. You've been blessed. If you've had a difficult one, maybe you're in the middle. You're kind of where I was at. My dad worked hard. He's a good guy. Did his job. But when it came to relationship, when it came to getting to church and opening up the Word and teaching us, that was foreign territory for him. He just never did it. And if I wanted to be nitpicky, I could complain about that. But I look at him as someone that was better than his dad. His dad was just a difficult situation that my father grew up in. And so I got to look at it that way. What did he come from? And then for those of you, it's been a negative experience. It's been difficult. And I want to encourage you to do what the Lord helped me with in the difficult times. And that was that I would look to my Heavenly Father as the perfect father and enjoy that and thank the Lord for that. I want to pray and then we're going to get into our time together. Let's pray. Father, I call you that because you're worthy of it. You have proven yourself faithful. You have proven yourself strong. And so today, as we look into your word, I'd ask you, Lord, to use it how you see fit. I'd ask you to encourage and challenge and do what you want with your word, with each and every person that hears this today. So thank you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Like I said, I want to encourage you to open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3. And what happens a lot of times, and I've seen this over the years with obviously preaching different messages and seeing what others preach, Mother's Day a lot of times is a day where moms are encouraged and we hear about the great things of mothers, and rightly so. And then dads get beat up hard during messages. My encouragement to you listening today, that this would be a message for everybody, but it would also be an encouragement in you knowing, as you're following the word, as you're desiring to walk with God, that dads, you would say, if I haven't been doing these things, then Lord, would you help me from here on out? Own that, what happened in the past, but from here on out, I want to be the man that your word is challenging me to be. And if you are, great. But we can all get better. And that's why, obviously, we come to church. That's why we open the word. I hope we're not ever getting to the point where, like, I'm just going to settle for being the same person and just staying that way. God loves us just the way we are, but too much to let us stay that way. And that's what Jesus is doing in this thing called sanctification. He's chipping away all the stuff that doesn't look like his son Jesus. So Proverbs 3, look at with me at verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. So Solomon wrote these words. And he also wrote a psalm. Listen to what he writes in Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Another translation says this, children are God's best gifts. So we as dads don't own our children. We are loaned them from God. And so we have this job for a very brief time. And I'm telling you, you young dads that are carrying the car seat, you're helping carry the diaper bag, you're doing this, and it's looking like, man, this just seems like it's going to be, I'm telling you, it's going to fly. It's going to fly. And be all in. While your kids are little, you will not regret it. I'm telling you, you will not regret it. And so I want you to think about this, these two boys. One boy is told, you remind me of your dad. And when that boy hears it, he sticks out his tongue with disgust. Another boy is told, you remind me of your dad. And he sticks out his chest in pride. And what we do determines those reactions by our kids. Now, sometimes they'll go through a stage of life where we can do nothing right. But when it all comes down and they truly know, like Mark Twain, when they really figure it out, they go, Dad wasn't that bad. Dad tried. And so my encouragement is, let's do the best job we possibly can. Point number one, Dad instructs. Dad instructs. Look at verse 11 again with me. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. So he says here, my son. And as a dad, Solomon is giving instruction. Let's go back earlier in the chapter. Look at chapter 3 of Proverbs and beginning at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then look at verses 4 and 5. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And then 5 and 6 even. Look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So you see, this book of the Bible is instruction of a father to train a son. 47 times in the book of Proverbs, the word son or sons appears. And then the word children or child appears another 16 times. So this is not just philosophy. This is practical wisdom. So when you're reading through the Bible in a year, some Bible reading plans, I have an app on my phone, and many times, like right now I'm doing daily audio Bible chronological, so that's going to be a little bit different. But a lot of times, there are Bible reading plans that do this: a bit of the Old Testament, a bit of the New Testament, some Psalms, and some Proverbs. And some encourage you to read the chapter of the Proverbs that lines up with the day. So it being June 20th, it would be Proverbs 20 to read today. And by doing that, you read through the entire book at least 12 times a year. So Solomon is quite an author. He wrote about 3,000 Proverbs, because not all the Proverbs that he wrote, there's others that are not even in the Bible, but he wrote about 3,000, and he wrote 1,005 songs. And one song remains, and that's the Song of Solomon, and that is an amazing song that instructs about the love in relationship, the love in marriage. So we see that. Now, Ephesians talks about family roles. So we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament here. Listen to these verses in Ephesians. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So you see that. Wives do this. Then we come to Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Okay, then we come to Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then we come to Ephesians 6:4, and it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now notice, he says, wives, husbands, children, and then when it comes to raising children, he didn't say parents or mom and dad. It's fathers bring them up. Not sit back and watch them grow. Move them toward maturity. And if you take, you and I took the time to study this in the Hebrew language, this teaches us something. In Hebrew, the word for parents is horim, The word for teacher is more. Both have the same exact root. And here's why. A parent is the first teacher in the life of a child. In Hebrew homes, the education of children was done in the first 3 years by mom. She nurtures, she breastfeeds, and then at three, she weans the child. And after year three, dad steps in and he instructs. And if it's a boy, he learns a trade so he can work with his hands, and he teaches his son the Torah, the law, to love the word. And that was dad's job. And if it's a girl, the mom teaches them domestic duties. But here was the dad's responsibilities. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." And so you see dad taking that on. And you'll watch, as you watch even the girls, because obviously there's that camaraderie between a dad and a son, but you'll watch godly girls in the Bible that know the Bible. You see Hannah's prayer early on in the book of 1 Samuel, the depth of her theology. Mary in the beginning of Luke, where she is having that song, where she is saying deep theological truth. That doesn't happen by accident. That's because dad took the time to instruct. She saw that modeled. And instruction should just be a part of a regular day. He's saying, when you lie down, when you get up, when you're walking around, that doesn't have to be relegated to one certain time that we have devotions. It's not a bad thing. But it's all the time God shows up. I see something and it spurs on a talk about God, and they do it. And what's a dad to instruct? Well, Paul said, bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Lead them to Christ. Disciple them to follow Christ. Show them what a follower of Christ looks like. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, "Before a child reaches seven, tell him all the way to heaven. Better still, the work will thrive if he learns before he's five." So a dad instructs. Secondly, dad corrects. Dad corrects. Let's look at those verses again. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." There's a story told. Let me read this to you. A set of parents sent their son to college and they paid the bill. It was not easy for these two parents. They were barely getting by, and to write a check to a college took a lot of sacrifice. But they wrote a check, sent it in 1 month, only to get an email back from their son at college. It was addressed, the email, to the mother. And the son said, "Dear Mom, I'm writing to inform you that I flunked all my courses. I had an accident and totally wrecked my car, and I owe the clothing store in this town $2,000. I have also been suspended for the next semester because of misconduct. I'm coming home. Prepare Dad." Interesting, he wrote the email to not the dad, but to the mom, saying, "Mom, prepare Dad." Well, she wrote back an email that said, "Dear son, Dad is prepared. Prepare yourself." That's the way We need to look at God. God is always prepared to deal with errant behavior from a child. And because for whom the Lord loves, He corrects. And so, dads, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready to be kind and good and fair in discipline. Look at how the Bible talks about this. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, and he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. So he's saying, don't give up. Don't resolve that this is a lost cause. Discipline. As a parent, it's just the best thing for them. Now, I remember as a parent, I remember when we had to discipline our children and the look on the grandparents' face. It was almost like, do you have to? And the reality was yes. But then I became a grandparent. And when the littles do something, it's sometimes difficult to watch, but actually, I'm grateful that when our children take seriously the discipline of their children, and to start early, and to not wait, and to listen, and be fair, and realize that every child is different. You would coach every kid the same way. And so, what works and what doesn't? And that's corrective discipline. But there's also preventive discipline. Listen to this report. 53% of teenagers report spending less than 30 minutes a day with their parents, their fathers. 1,000 teenagers were interviewed. 25% of them did not discuss their daily activities with their parents. 42% received no words of praise from their parents in a 24-hour period. 50% received no hug, no kiss, and 54% did not hear the words, I love you, from a parent in that 24-hour period. All those things are preventive discipline. That helps. That gives correction. And both are needed. Dad instructs. He informs. He equips. Dad corrects. He adjusts. He strengthens. And lastly, there's a third one. And that's this little ingredient. Actually, it's a big ingredient. Number three, Dad loves. Because love assures a child. It brings stability. It settles a child down. I love that the verse here, Proverbs 3:12, it ends with this. It talks all that stuff about discipline and then it says, as a father, the son in whom he delights. Now, that Hebrew word is retzon. It means to enjoy. It means to approve or to favor. But most translators say delight. But listen to those. To have that whole idea of favor. That your child knows that as you look at them, they are loved. They are favored. They are approved. You enjoy them. A father's love is central to that emotional stability and well-being that a child is wanting so badly. A child's view of God sometimes is formed by his or her earthly father. And there's other reasons. Your daughter is going to grow up and marry a man one day. And she needs to know what to look for. Dads, you provide a model of that. And it's interesting that girls will often choose, even subconsciously, men that are very similar to their earthly fathers. Then that could be a good thing, and that, or that could be a bad thing. Your son is going to grow up and marry a woman, and he needs to know what kind of man he's supposed to be. He needs to know what a real man looks like. And we are setting the standard. And so it's easier for us, dads, to prepare a boy than it is to repair a man. It's much easier to prepare a girl than to repair a woman. We've met people over the years, broken lives, and much of it is tied to their upbringing. 100 years from now, it won't matter what car you drove. It's important. It's not the most important thing. It won't even matter how much money you have in the bank. That's important. But it's not the most important thing. But 100 years from now, it will matter what you did with Christ. So, let's ask the Lord to make us fathers like the Heavenly Father. And let's follow that Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. For your faithfulness, for your love, how you've instructed, how you've corrected, how you've loved. And now help us. And where we've dropped the ball, I'd ask you to give us the opportunity to own that. And where we've done as well as we could, that, Father, the fruit from that would be seen, not for our glory, but for yours. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.